Another exhibition of adroitness?
Mm-hmm. Yes, overly.
Thank you for the pause to turn the tape. You were speaking of the skull.
They are living energies. They are the truest, programmable, from thought energy substances that you will ever find. They represent the brain of man. For the brain of man truly does hold all knowledge. You just don't use it. You cannot pull it into your consciousness. And the last skulls that will be brought forth will hold the entirety of the data banks of the universe. This was a very, very special creation of the Father. This was the glory of his thought form. And because he's merciful, he has allowed you ones to do what you have done. And finally, Mother said, no, no more. No more. She is tired of being dark and not having a say in her place in this universal order of things. And what is a blink of an eye to the Father and to us is a long, long time for you. It is nothing in the time span of a universe. But you once worked very rapidly. Other planets took many more years of evolution to reach this point. You once really worked fast. All of you have cycled back and forth through this place. Made your contribution, both good and bad, in perception of what we have come to today. Ones like Tesla came over and over as a testor to see if you were ready, and surely enough, not yet. This time you will get ready. What you perceive as the very worst, remember how it is. Man has to get to the lowest point to make his revolution. All things have to reach a point of critical stasis before it can pulse again back. And you're right at the static point. Right at the static point, the pause, the quiet, the stillness of the universe, resting. The clearing will take place, and then the growth again along the cycle of the rebirthing. And then you can experience glory again. And then you will have access to all these wonderful things that have been kept for you. And still, it always seems to all of you it should be somewhere else. Why is it not at the Great Pyramid? Well, it has its place. It had its place in the cycle, as did the great ones in the Andes and the great ones in your Central America. This was glory once also, this very place. It's destined to be it again. But many of the truths that are buried in those pyramids will come forth also. It will be a world of glory, not just Hajipi of glory.
Another exhibition of adroitness?
Mm-hmm. Yes, overly.
Thank you for the pause to turn the tape. You were speaking of the skull.
They are living energies. They are the truest programmable from thought energy substances that you will ever find. They represent the brain of man. For the brain of man truly does hold all knowledge. You just don't use it. You cannot pull it into your consciousness. And the last skulls that will be brought forth will hold the entirety of the data banks of the universe. This was a very, very special creation of the Father. This was the glory of his thought form. And because he's merciful, he has allowed you ones to do what you have done. And finally, Mother said, no, no more. No more. She is tired of being dark and not having a say in her place in this universal order of things. And what is a blink of an eye to the Father and to us is a long, long time for you. It is nothing in the time span of a universe. But you once worked very rapidly. Other planets took many more years of evolution to reach this point. You once really worked fast. All of you have cycled back and forth through this place. Made your contribution, both good and bad, in perception of what we have come to today. Ones like Tesla came over and over as a testor to see if you were ready, and surely enough, not yet. This time you will get ready. What you perceive as the very worst, remember how it is. Man has to get to the lowest point to make his revolution. All things have to reach a point of critical stasis before it can pulse again back. And you're right at the static point. Right at the static point, the pause, the quiet, the stillness of the universe, resting. The clearing will take place, and then the growth again along the cycle of the rebirthing. And then you can experience glory again. And then you will have access to all these wonderful things that have been kept for you. And still, it always seems to all of you it should be somewhere else. Why is it not at the Great Pyramid? Well, it has its place. It had its place in the cycle, as did the great ones in the Andes and the great ones in your Central America. This was glory once also, this very place. It's destined to be it again. But many of the truths that are buried in those pyramids will come forth also. It will be a world of glory, not just a Hatchepi of glory. And the planet itself, what seems to be in great, great misery, for it is truly in this period of stillness before the upswing again into the cycle. It has reached its depth. And all the creatures know it. All the ancient brothers know it. And you ones are coming into your understanding. So some of these places in this valley must be preserved.
When I was up there at the water canyon today, I kept seeing, and when I would stop, when we were out of the truck and walking on the earth, kept seeing in my mind a brilliant white. It was like a spot that was radiating, and then it was hooked to other, they look like stones. It could have been the crystal that you're speaking of. Other in around the earth, and they were hooked energy-wise, like ley lines.
Oh, yes. Lines. Yes.
And is that what I was reading? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yes, I perceive that. You see, there are many what you would call natural crystal vortices. Some have been purposely placed, devices placed at some, you know, at maybe a vortex here or a vortex there, where there is no what we call natural growing crystal. These were placed on your earth from its inception or conception. This is our mode of navigation. We gain energy from these. There's a magnificent one in the area of Sedona, the Four Corners area. It is in that area. It is not in Sedona itself, for instance. There is one off of the Hawaiian Islands, a very, very large one. This is the largest one. This is the most powerful one, if we're going to speak energy levels. You see, you have varying colors of crystals, and they carry different forms of energy. I do not, as I scan, however, see any that are this large. This is one of the largest of the universal crystals. You may as well call it your mother's heart, the heart set. All of those others are circulation systems you can equate to your blood system. You have a nervous system. You have a lifeline of, you have a circulatory system in the planet, just as you do within yourself. She breathes, only she uses her life, her trees, her plants. And now she's working on less than one quarter of her lungs. the creatures could be called her blood cells. You see, they carry life. Even the birds in their processing system carry the seeds and the fertilizer. Man was an integral part of that. And then man became destructive, like the cancer cell. And like the cancer cell, it begins to eat and begin to be bigger and bigger and bigger and form the tumors. Some cancer cells eat away and form caverns into the bones. And there's not a soul that wouldn't contribute to it. And that's glory. And we watched as those precious beings from the sea were stranded in the shallows, and the entire population came out to bathe them, and some were lost, but some were saved. There's good left in man. Man's heart cries out to be good. And that's what keeps a mother patient with you. And we're thankful for that. And I'm going to get sentimental and cry myself. So let's laugh about something. We get emotional too.
Happens a lot lately.
Brother Randall, you have not experienced the vultures here as they head to California coast. All you have to do is pick up the book of Revelations. There's some truth in your Bible after all. The scavengers will gather.
We've seen swarms. Don't you run? Run? Yes, sir.
Why don't you do that, does you?
30. Well, one time there must have been a couple hundred of them.
200 at least.
One afternoon, about a week before last, maybe a little longer.
Send shivers through me.
Yes. That's when you really have to hold on to your balance.
See a swarm of bees or something. Swarm.
In the comparison of the energy we felt today up in the Water Canyon compared to the energy here on the mountain, on the hill here at Crystal?
Yes.
The intensity of it I could feel quite a bit, but could you give more of a in words of some kind, that feeling, the difference between the two?
That was a question I had too.
I will try. It's technical enough, the kind of energy given off, that I don't know that I can make it clear. Mm-hmm. You're going to, in this area, pick up real intonation, actual sound, an actual feeling of vibration, mm-hmm. that is a physical thing.
Yes, I felt that since I've been back.
And the closer you get to the source or the heart of this crystal, it will intensify, or you will feel a little more balanced as you reach the center. But it is programmed, much like a radio. How would I put it? A computer. I don't know how to make it really understandable, but it's truly... It carries great, great programs already, and then we are now utilizing it. So it will give off frequency that literally turns into sound in your hearing range or your sensing range.
I heard some sounds when I was sleeping last night.
Yes, you will. And pretty soon as we work with you, you will not be without it. And at some point it will not bother you anymore, and at some point you will really smile about it and say, hi there, and recognize that it's really comforting to have it there. But it will be annoying when you quiet yourself or sleep. These ones usually have to play music or something. Dharma really pays at night. We really turn it up, and we really work with it. And as she went to bed last night, she said, oh, my gracious, we didn't tell him about the smoke alarm.
I've heard it on tapes.
All right, then don't panic. You're not on fire.
I wouldn't panic. I always burn inside anyway.
Well, it's really interesting. Now you talk about the energy that comes from, let us call it, the weir. The Awankan Wakan, that is the sacred altar, that right there.
That
is something
you
feel.
It felt like an altar.
It pulsates, it is from within. It does not come with beep, 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 beep. It is a very holy energy. And you want to hug it. You want to be one with it. It's not something you want to back away from like is here. You want to be with it. Because it is your heartbeat. It is your life. Essence. It is the programming of the soul. And you can't even hug it up enough.
No.
No matter what you do, you cannot contain it.
As a physical being, how would I be able to consciously hold or cleanse that through me, let that come through me? I know that it is.
You just have to
be. That's like a little extra hand.
I know.
Been there.
You would like just to rub it on you and bring it home.
Yeah, that's right.
You tried that.
I did. I rubbed my hands in it and everything.
Why don't I sense more of this type of thing?
I don't know, Al. I expect that you maybe just are a little reserved or something and just don't allow it. You try too hard. That's one thing I know about you. You try too hard. How that sounds terrible. You cannot really try too hard for anything. But you get so intense about it, and being intense and tensed blocks it. Oberly doesn't pick it up either. For a long, long time, Dharma picked up nothing like that.
You know,
pick up a rock, and a rock's a rock.
Anne gave me a reading when I first met E.J. and Doris that weekend. It was solar ray. Solar ray told me that I came in, his wife, how do you put it? Something about that I don't feel emotions like other people do, to the extent. Would that have something to do with it? Because that's sensing energies, right?
Yes,
in other words, I'm not as sensitive
might.
To energies as other people. But I purposely did that so I wouldn't get off the track or something like that.
Well,
I was so determined to make it.
Let us use you as an example. You come along and you make your arrangements to come in, and you know that there is a given purpose in your life. You don't recognize it. It's not up here in your consciousness, and you begin to search. It's easier now, quite frankly, for the younger ones to come in because it's quite all right to know that you are searching for something. But there was an entire period of time, many hundreds of years, where man didn't search. Man was told what he did, and man got himself married, and he stayed married no matter how bad it was. You ones come in, and you have whatever background you have chosen to come into. With you, Al, it was a family and basic poverty. Most of you have experienced it. These ones, you know. overly, probably less than Dorma. But sadness within the makeup of the family structure, a struggle, a time of without, which would not matter, but if you're having upheavals in the family unit, a child will build walls. And then you move farther, and you go to school or whatever, and you have a few more bad experiences, and you get a little more insecure, you build another wall, another layer of brick, and then you meet someone and you fall in love, and it goes to hell, and you build another wall, you know, just add another brick. Pretty soon, you go through three or four of these experiences, and your wall is so thick, you've insulated yourself from everything. It is better not to feel than to feel the pain when it falls apart. I will just be, and I will not experience over here or over here. I would walk right down the middle, and nothing can really touch me. And you continue to give, but it's very hard to receive, very hard to obligate or be obligated to or from. And this is why I concern about someone like Daylene. After you have had some real disappointments, the walls go so big and so thick that sometimes they are never removed. It isn't quite like zombieism yet. But you once, and it is natural to do that. You build your cocoon. And pretty soon you withdraw into it. And you don't allow healing. Oberly does it. Dorma does it in a different way. Sometimes it's independence. With her, if she can't see a way to do it personally, all by herself, she doesn't want to bite it off because she doesn't want to leave. She doesn't want to share the burden. Now she can share it as long as she thinks she can do it. If that makes sense to anyone.
Well, it's independence.
And it's truly not independence. Well, it is a need for... Yes, I hear what you say, and that's why I want to talk about that.
Because it's usually the reverse of what you're putting out.
You feel that you can be an island unto yourself some way, that way. And that you will not be a burden, and therefore, whatever the mind conjures up, therefore this, therefore that, what it is you built a wall. It makes you strong in many ways, and you don't want to appear weak. And sometimes, to sense these energy flows, is perceived as weak. Because there have been so many lies about it. And they get on the mountaintop and they say, oh God, I feel, you know. They don't feel anything but a pain in the neck. And this is what's wrong. To genuinely walk out there and feel God is something you don't go shout. You might go shout on the mountaintop, yeah, you know. God, thank you. But not this kind of a feeling. It is quiet. It is holy. And you don't go rattle your gourds and things. You quietly thank God for the privilege of just having been there a minute.
I imagine then it's like some music touches me. It's... But it wouldn't be music that I'd hear. It'd be more on the same basis, though, the feeling from it, right?
Yes, and I'll tell you something else about it. If you went up there alone, Al, all by yourself, and went down where the energy felt the strongest to these others, and you just sat there for a while, it would come. Sometimes things have to be experienced in the total solitude, so that it is not impacted by anyone else's feelings, anyone else's description. You see, some of these things go beyond description. So what you are hearing being described is not what you're feeling. but it may be the same thing.
Well, that's what I was saying about the music. You can't tell someone else what you're feeling.
That's right.
It is something that just grabs a hold of you.
Yes.
Okay, well, I know basically then what they're talking about, only it takes the hearing vibration of the music to do it to me, rather than I'm not used to picking it up that way, right? Basically.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And we have all these guidelines to think it must be this way because the book said it's this way. If I don't hold my hands this way, I won't get it somehow. This is the problem that man faces. There are so many instructions by so many gurus and so many masters and so many this and so many that, that you think you have to do something in order to get something. I don't have any trouble reaching through here. And if she wants to eat incorrectly, that's her pain in the stomach. But what happens is man gets so concerned and preoccupied with what he's going to eat or not drink, or whether his hands are going to be up or down or squinched or what, or if the lights are going to be up or down. It doesn't matter. I can work very well in the light. I happen to be light. But it's sure hard on her eyes. So you go with what touches you and makes you comfortable. Don't go by what someone else says you ought to do. They don't know what you ought to do. They know what works for them. And the ones who tell you what you ought to do, and if you don't do it this way, it won't work, are full of it. You are an individual, and no one can tell you what will work for you. It's just like medicine. All a drug is a tool. You heal yourself.
Well, I know music can really touch me at times. So.
Well, you
I
see.
I know the feeling that basically I suppose I would feel if I was tuned exactly to that type of frequency.
And maybe what you perceive as beautiful, untouchable music, the rest would think, why does he listen to that?
Yeah, so that's exactly what would be.
And, well, you all dance or march to a different drummer. That's what makes you precious. If you were all an army of clones, what kind of a world would it really be?
Some of the greatest sighs I've had is sitting at that organ playing. Vibrations that come out of the
music. Yes, and you don't even have to make a song, do you?
Well, it's just the vibrations of the harmony and so forth. You have a piece of music, I don't know if you've ever heard about it, called The Holy City. It's based out of the verses out of the Bible about the Holy City. And that's one piece of music that touches me like that if I play it in just the right mind.
Well, someone probably experienced that feeling and
I'm
was
sure
able to put it to paper.
I'm sure they did when they wrote it, but probably 9 out of 10 people that hear it would never be affected by it like that.
That's how we'll be able to pass messages.
It just dawned on me last night, you know. Mentioned the Holy City and I tied it to this and I thought, no wonder I fell in love with that piece of music years ago.
Speaking of light, I hope we have some better alternatives for the light bulb.
Well, it depends on how hard you work. There are a lot of alternatives to the light bulb.
An internal flame.
Well, you're a little way from that.
Yeah, I realize that. We see the eternal flame good if we try to do it that way.
Just conscious illumination would be nice.
That's what we do.
Is what?
Conscious illumination.
We just create it. And our walls just kind of make it.
That's what I was asking for.
Right.
just like to have those terablocks constantly illuminated.
Yes. You may get there. You may really get there before your devolution is finished on the place. But you'll stick around as long as you want. I'll tell you what you'll want. It's always, I hear and I listen. You're going to enjoy a period of time. I don't care what your age. There's going to come a static time in here, truly. And you're going to get your work done. And you're going to think, boy, this is really neat. And pretty soon you'll even get bored with that. You'll be ready to come back. But you're really going to truly enjoy a period of spending in that time of radiance and playing with the things that you will have produced before there is any corruption brought back. Because you see, all the cycles, the earth itself will recover. Time doesn't mean anything in the universe. And the billions of years that it may have taken Mars to go and come, these things will be re-inhabited. Your ones are talking about a joint space trip to Mars. This is sometimes the way it begins. Ones always want to start with a big bang and an evolution from fishes. And did it ever occur to anyone God just simply put man here from somewhere else? That seems to be heinous. A heinous thought. That's got to be blasphemy some way. But it's so much more realistic. Man always was. Man was not a fish. I'm sorry. That's an insult to God's thought. He would not think up a fish if he wanted a man. Man has always been in the thought of God. Man makes all the limits. The creatures like the monkeys were brought for man's pleasure. Everything else was brought for man's pleasure and friendship. And man wants to do all of this bullshit about blowing up from the ocean and, hey, it doesn't matter. Whatever you want to believe is first tried with me. But I'll tell you, man has always been. And it's a lousy cop-out of the Father God to say you're lesser than what he created. He didn't make himself a fish. If he chooses to experience in the thought form of creating a fish, he'll do it. Or a cloud, or a tree, or whatever. And you should try it every now and then. Go into your quiet place and make yourself into a tree leaf. Make yourself into a cloud and experience the air around every portion of you being one with the atmosphere. There'll come a time when you can control your thought to that extent. Feel being the root of a tree with the earth around you. God can experience anyway because God is all. But one of his highest, most precious thought creations and projections is man. If he wanted an ape, he would make an ape, and he did so. Why would he make you from an ape when he can make you from anything he wishes? It was not an ape. And yes, man had different form because man fell from grace into darkness. And you're about to do it again unless we're not very diligent. And then you have a re-evolution of man. That does not mean re-evolution of monkey. And yes, you had the caveman. These were from the ancients. But they were ignorant. They had moved again into the darkness and had to relearn everything. Everything. From all to nothing. And that's what we're trying to prevent happening again. But don't ever believe all of this stuff you're told. God created man and breathed his image and became one with you. And yes, God is monkey, God is fish, God is eagle, God is scorpion. But they were not given the gift of reason. And man had to begin, really, each of these darkness cycles with nothing to reason against. All knowledge was blank. You have to have something to relate to reason. How deep do you want to get into this subject? This is beyond philosophy. This is simple truth. But we discuss these things, Rick. You ask. These are things.
So was the first woman blonde?
Just exactly like Askit and Semyosik.
Really?
You knew it.
Far out.
You don't want to hear that they are bald.
Oh,
like
no.
Me?
No. I actually
you
know.
Like it blonde, don't you?
Yes, actually.
I thought you did.
What?
Handle that one now.
All the ladies pink and blonde and cuddly.
That's fine.
Yes. There is something very nice about ladies.
I think so.
Well, you think so more than almost anyone. See, he doesn't even go into argue.
And I like talking philosophy. I'm an old philosopher at some point.
Well, there isn't really anything else worth talking about. As a matter of fact, all of the rest is survival. How do you best do this or do that or whatever? And pretty much that's physics, isn't it? If you get the right mathematical formula, if you can, or chemical formula, you've got it. So that's fun. But the only thing in your world, it's like literature or music. No one can feel what you feel about it. And therefore, philosophy, as far as I'm concerned, is the only real subject there is, where you can perceive anything you wish, any way you wish. And that's your opinion. Now that's what gets a lot of people into trouble, because they have an opinion and no one else may have one. Theirs is always right. And usually when they're that dogmatic, they're most often wrong.
Well, speaking of philosophy, where's John Muir? Is he with you all?
I would have to read my scanners.
Could you? Would you? Or Henry David Thoreau, either one of those.
Thoreau is not on your place. Muir is.
Thank you.
And as a matter of fact, he's very active doing essentially what he did.
Good.
He's a great gift, a great naturalist. And he works almost in the same given areas. And those beautiful, beautiful creations are the monuments to God, I think, on your place. Those giant redwoods, yes. Only God can make a tree. everything else is made by men like me.
Is Paul back on Earth yet?
As in Paul Andrew?
Is he the Paul of the biblical
Paul? Oh, Paul.
That's a good question.
Let us not get... I really... This is...